own thoughts and their effects upon himself. Just when, where, and how the first rays of thought began to flow into man's brain, no one knows. But we all know that thought is the power which distinguishes man from all other creatures. Likewise, we all know that thought is the power that has enabled man to lift himself above all other creatures. No one knows the limitations of the power of thought, or whether or not it has any limitations. Whatever man believes he can do, he eventually does. But a few generations back, the more imaginative writers dared to write off the horseless carriage, and lo, it became a reality, and is now a common vehicle. Through the evolutionary power of thought, the hopes and ambitions of one generation becomes the reality in the next. The power of thought has been given the dominating position throughout this course, for the reason that it belongs in that position. Man's dominating position in the world is the direct result of thought, and it must be this power that you, as an individual, will use in the attainment of success, no matter what may be your idea of what represents success. You have now arrived at the point at which you should take inventory of yourself for the purpose of ascertaining what qualities you need to give you a well-balanced and rounded-out personality. 15 major factors entered into the building of this course. Analyze yourself carefully with the assistance of one or more other persons if you feel that you need it, for the purpose of ascertaining in which of the 15 factors of this course you are the weakest, and then concentrate your efforts upon those particular lessons until you have fully developed those factors which they represent. Indecision, an after-the-lesson visit with the author. Time. Procrastination robs you of opportunity. It is a significant fact that no great leader was ever known to procrastinate. You are fortunate if ambition drives you into action, never permitting you to falter or turn back once you have rendered a decision to go forward. Second by second, as the clock ticks off, the distance time is running a race with you. Delay means defeat, because no man may ever make up a second of lost time. Time is a master worker which heals the wounds of failure and disappointment and rights all wrongs and turns all mistakes into capital. But it favors only those who kill off procrastination and remain in action when decisions are to be made. Life is a great checkerboard. The player opposite you is time. If you hesitate, you will be wiped off the board. If you keep moving, you may win. The only real capital is time, but it is capital only when used. You may be shocked if you keep accurate account of the time you waste in a single day. Take a look at the picture above if you wish to know the fate of all who play carelessly with time. The picture at the top of the previous page tells a true story of one of the chief causes of failure. One of the players is time, and the other is Mr. Average Man. Let us call him you. Move by move, time has wiped off Mr. Average Man's men until he is finally cornered, where time will get him, no matter which way he moves. Indecision has driven him into the corner. Ask any well-informed salesman, and he will tell you that indecision is the outstanding weakness of the majority of people. Every salesman is familiar with the time-worn alibi, "I will think it over," which is the last trench line of defense of those who have not the courage to say either yes or no. Like the player in the picture above, they cannot decide which way to move. Meanwhile, time forces them into a corner where they can't move. The great leaders of the world were men and women of quick decision. General Grant had but little to command him as an able general except the quality of firm decision. But this was sufficient to offset all his weaknesses. The whole story of his military success may be gathered from his reply to his critics when he said, "We will fight it out along these lines if it takes all summer." When Napoleon reached a decision to move his armies in a given direction, he permitted nothing to cause him to change a decision. If his line of march brought his soldiers to a ditch dug by his opponents to stop him, he would give the order to charge the ditch until it had been filled with dead men and horses sufficient to bridge it. The suspense of indecision drives millions of people to failure. A condemned man once said that the thought of his approaching execution was not so terrifying once he had reached the decision in his own mind to accept the inevitable. Lack of decision is the chief stumbling block of all revival meeting workers. Their entire work is to get men and women to reach a decision in their own minds to accept a given religious tenet. Billy Sunday once said, "Indecision is the devil's favorite tool." Andrew Carnegie visualized a great steel industry, but that industry would not be what it is today had he not reached the decision in his own mind to transform his vision into reality. James J. Hill saw, in his mind's eye, a great transcontinental railway system, but that railroad never would have become a reality had he not reached a decision to start the project. Imagination alone is not enough to ensure success. Millions of people have imagination and build plans that would easily bring them both fame and fortune, but those plans never reach the decision stage. Samuel Instill was an ordinary stenographer in the employ of Thomas Edison. Through the aid of his imagination, he saw the great commercial possibilities of electricity. But he did more than see the possibilities. He reached a decision to transform the mere possibilities into realities. And today, he is a multi-millionaire electric light plant operator. Demosthenes was a poor Greek lad who had a strong desire to be a great public speaker. Nothing unusual about that. Others have desired this and similar ability without living to see their desires realized. But Demosthenes added decision to desire, and despite the fact that he was a stammerer, he mastered this handicap and made himself one of the greatest orators of the world. Martin Littleton was a poor lad who never saw the inside of a schoolhouse until he was past 12 years of age. His father took him to hear a great lawyer defend a murderer in one of the southern cities. The speech made such a profound impression on the lad's mind that he grabbed his father by the hand and said, "Father, one of these days I am going to become the ablest lawyer in America." That was a definite decision. Today, Martin Littleton accepts no fee under $50,000, and it is said that he is kept busy all the time. He became an able lawyer because he reached a decision to do so. Edwin C. Barnes reached a decision in his own mind to become the partner of Thomas Edison. Handicapped by the lack of schooling, without money to pay his railroad fare, and with no influential friends to introduce him to Mr. Edison, young Barnes made his way to East Orange on a freight car, and so thoroughly sold himself to Mr. Edison that he got his opportunity, which led to a partnership. Today, just 20 years since that decision was reached, Mr. Barnes lives at Bradenton, Florida, retired, with all the money he needs. Men of decision usually get all that they go after. Well within the memory of this writer, a little group of men called at Westerville, Ohio, and organized what they called the Anti-Saloon League. Saloon men treated them as a joke. People generally made fun of them, but they had reached a decision. That decision was so pronounced that it finally drove the powerful saloon men into the corner. William Wrigley Jr. reached a decision to devote his entire business career to the manufacture and sale of a 5-cent package of chewing gum. He has made that decision bring him financial returns running into millions of dollars a year. Henry Ford reached a decision to manufacture and sell a popular priced automobile that would be within the means of all who wish to own it. That decision has made Ford the most powerful man on earth and brought travel opportunity to millions of people. All these men had two outstanding qualities, a definite purpose and a firm decision to transform that purpose into reality. The man of decision gets that which he goes after, no matter how long it takes or how difficult the task. An able salesman wanted to meet a Cleveland banker. The banker would not see him. One morning, this salesman waited near the banker's house until he saw him get into his automobile and start downtown. Watching his opportunity, the salesman drove his own automobile into the banker's, causing slight damage to the automobile. Alighting from his own car, he handed the banker his card, expressed regret on account of the damage done, but promised the banker a new car exactly like the one he had damaged. That afternoon, a new car was delivered to the banker, and out of that transaction grew a friendship that terminated finally in the business partnership which still exists. The man of decision cannot be stopped. The man of indecision cannot be started. Take your own choice. Behind him lay the gray Azores, behind the gates of Hercules. before him not the ghost of shores, before him only shoreless seas. The good maid said, Now must we pray, for lo, the very stars are gone. Brave admiral, speak, what shall I say? Why say, sail on and on. When Columbus began his famous voyage, he made one of the most far-reaching decisions in the history of mankind. Had he not remained firm on a decision, the freedom of America as we know it today would never have been known. Take notice of those that about you and observe the significant fact that the successful men and women are those who reach decisions quickly and then stand firmly by those decisions after they are made. If you are one of those who make up their minds today and change them again tomorrow, you are doomed to failure. If you are not sure which way to move, it is better to shut your eyes and move in the dark than to remain still and make no move at all. The world will forgive you if you make mistakes, but it will never forgive you if you make no decisions, because it will never hear of you outside of the community in which you live. No matter who you are or what you may be life work, you are playing checkers with time. It is always your next move. Move with quick decision, and time will favor you. Stand still, and time will wipe you off the board. You cannot always make the right move, but if you make enough moves, you may take advantage of the law of averages and pile up a creditable score before the great game of life is ended. End of chapter. Aphorisms from Lesson 1. One of the most destructive evils is slanderous talk. It breaks human hearts and ruins reputations with a ruthlessness unknown in connection with all other evils. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. If you cannot do great things yourself, remember that you may do small things in a great way. An aim in life is the only fortune worth finding, and it is not to be found in foreign lands, but in the heart itself. Robert Louis Stevenson. When you lose your sense of humor, get a job running an elevator, because your life will be a series of ups and downs anyway. Seek the counsel of men who will tell you the truth about yourself, even if it hurts you to hear it. Mere commendation will not bring the improvement you need. A man is half whipped the minute he begins to feel sorry for himself, or to spin an alibi with which he would explain his defects. Never in the history of the world has there been such abundant opportunity as there is now for the person who is willing to serve before trying to collect. You cannot become a power in your community nor achieve enduring success in any worthy undertaking until you become big enough to blame yourself for your own mistakes and reverses. Men cease to interest us when we find their limitations. The only sin is limitation. As soon as you once come upon to a man's limitations, it is all over with him. Emerson. Courage is the standing army of the soul, what keeps it from conquest, pillage, and slavery. Henry Van Dyke. If you do not believe in cooperation, look what happens to a wagon that loses its wheel. To believe in the heroic makes heroes. Disraeli. Every failure is a blessing in disguise, providing it teaches some needed lesson one could not have learned without it. Most so-called failures are only temporary defeats. Render more service than that for which you are paid, and you will soon be paid for more than you render. The law of increasing returns takes care of this. Don't be afraid of a little opposition. Remember that the kite of success generally rises against the wind of adversity, not with it. If you must slander someone, don't speak it, but write it. Write it in the sand near the water's edge. Napoleon Hill. No man has a chance to enjoy permanent success until he begins to look in the mirror for the real cause of all his mistakes. Napoleon Hill. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 1. Aphorisms from Lesson 2. Neglecting to broaden their view has kept some men doing one thing all their lives. Yes, he succeeded, but he almost failed. So did Robert Fulton and Abraham Lincoln and nearly all the others whom we call successful. No man ever achieved worthwhile success who did not, at one time or another, find himself with at least one foot hanging well over the brink of failure. Every line a man writes, and every act in which he indulges, and every word he utters, serves an unescapable evidence of the nature of that which is deeply embedded in his own heart, a confession that he cannot disavow. Anyone can start, but only the thoroughbred will finish. The best compensation for doing things is the ability to do more. Do not tell the world what you can do. First, show it. No position in life can be secure, and no achievement can be permanent unless built upon truth and justice. A good encyclopedia contains most of the known facts of the world, but they are as useless as sand dunes until organized and expressed in terms of action. If you run a losing race without blaming your loss on someone else, you have bright prospects of success further down the road of life. By and large, there is no such thing as something for nothing. In the long run, you get exactly that for which you pay, whether you are buying an automobile or a loaf of bread. No person is educated who has not at least a speaking acquaintance with the law of compensation, as is described by Emerson. The best rosebush, after all, is not that which has the fewest thorns, but that which bears the finest roses. Henry Van Dyke. End of Aphorisms for Lesson 2. Aphorisms from Lesson 3. The highest compact we can make with our fellow man is, let there be truth between us two forevermore. Emerson. Love, beauty, joy, and worship are forever building, tearing down, and rebuilding the foundation of each man's soul. The only man who makes no mistakes is the man who never does anything. Do not be afraid of mistakes, providing you do not make the same one twice. Roosevelt. A home is something that cannot be bought. You can buy a house, but only a woman can make it a home. If you want a thing done well, call on some busy person to do it. Busy people are generally the most painstaking and thorough in all they do. No man can become a great leader of men unless he has the milk of human kindness in his own heart and leads by suggestion and kindness rather than by force. Your work and mind are peculiarly akin. I am helping the laws of nature create more perfect specimens of vegetation, while you are using those same laws through the law of success philosophy to create more perfect specimens of thinkers. Luther Burbank. Is it not strange that we fear most that which never happens, that we destroy our initiative by the fear of defeat, when in reality defeat is a most useful tonic and should be accepted as such? You are fortunate if you have learned the difference between temporary defeat and failure. More fortunate still if you have learned the truth that the very seed of success is dormant in every defeat that you experience. In every soul there has been deposited the seed of a great future, but that seed will never germinate, much less grow to maturity, except through the rendering of useful service. Remember that when you make an appointment with another person, you assume the responsibility of punctuality, and that you have not the right to be a single minute late. Amidst all the mysteries by which we are surrounded, nothing is more certain than that we are in the presence of an infinite and eternal energy from which all things proceed. Herbert Spencer, End of Aphorisms, Lesson 3. Chapter 4, At Rest in the Kingdom and All Things Added. The whole journey from the kingdom of strife to the kingdom of love resolves itself into a process which may be summed up in the following words: the regulation and purification of conduct. Such a process must, if assiduously pursued, necessarily lead to perfection. It will also be seen that as the man obtains the mastery over certain forces within himself, he arrives at a knowledge of all the laws which operate in the realm of those forces. And by watching the ceaseless working of cause and effect within himself, until he understands it, he then understands it in its universal adjustments in the body of humanity. Moreover, seeing that all the laws which govern human affairs are the direct outcome of the necessities of the human heart, he, having reformed and transmuted those necessities, has brought himself under the guidance of other laws which operate in accordance with the altered condition, and that having mastered and overcome the selfish forces within himself, he can no longer be subject to the laws which exist for their governance. The process is also one of simplification of the mind, a sifting away of all but the essential good in character. And as the mind is thus simplified, the apparently unfathomable complexity of the universe assumes simpler and simpler aspects, until the whole is seen to resolve itself into and rest upon a few unalterable principles. And these principles are ultimately seen to be contained in one, namely love. The mind thus simplified, the man arrives at peace, and he now really begins to live. Looking back on the personal life which he has forever abandoned, he sees it as a horrible nightmare out of which he has awakened. But looking out and down with the eyes of the spirit, he sees that others continue to live it. He sees men and women struggling, fighting, suffering and perishing for that which is abundantly given to them by the bountiful hand of the Father, if they would only cease from all greed, and take it without hurt or hindrance, and compassion fills his heart, and also gladness, for he knows that humanity will wake at last from its long and painful dream. In the early part of the journey, he seemed to be leaving humanity far behind, and he sorrowed in his loneliness. But now, having reached the highest, having attained the goal, he finds himself nearer to humanity than ever before, yea, living in its very heart, sympathizing with all its sorrows, rejoicing in all its joys, for having no longer any personal consideration to defend, he lives entirely in the heart of humanity. He lives no longer for himself, he lives for others, and so living, he enjoys the highest bliss, the deepest peace. For a time he searched for compassion, love, bliss, truth, but now he has verily become compassion, love, bliss, truth, and it may literally be said of him that he has ceased to be a personality, for all the personal elements have been extinguished, and there remains only those qualities and principles which are entirely impersonal. And those qualities are now manifested in the man's life, and henceforth the man's character. And having ceased from the protection of the self, and living constantly in compassion, wisdom, and love, he comes under the protection of the highest law, the law of love, and he understands that law, and consciously cooperates with it, yea, is himself inseparably identified with the law. Foregoing self, the universe grows I, and he whose nature is compassion, wisdom, and love cannot possibly need any protection, for those principles themselves constitute the highest protection, being the real, the divine, and immortal in all men and women, and constituting the indestructible reality in the cosmic order. Nothing does he need to seek enjoyment, whose very nature is bliss, joy, and peace. As for competing with others, With whom should he compete who has lovingly identified himself with all? With whom should he struggle who has sacrificed himself for all? Whose blind, misguided, and ineffectual competition should he fear who has reached the source of all blessedness and who reaches at the hands of the Father all necessary things? Having lost himself, his selfish personality, he has found himself, his divine nature, love. And love and all the effects of love now compose his life. He can now joyfully exclaim, I have made the acquaintance of the Master of Compassion. I have put on the garment of the perfect law. I have entered the realm of the great reality. Wandering is ended, for rest is accomplished. Pain and sorrow have ceased, for peace is entered into. Confusion is dissolved, for unity is made manifest. Error is vanquished, for truth is revealed. The harmonizing principle, righteousness or divine love, being found, all things are seen as they are, and not through the illusory mediums of selfishness and opinion. The universe is one, and all its manifold operations are the manifestations of one law. Hitherto in this work laws have been referred to, and also spoken of, as higher and lower, and this distinction was necessary, but now the kingdom is reached, and we see that all the forces operative in human life are the varied manifestations of the one supreme law of love. It is by virtue of this law that humanity suffers, that by the intensity of its suffering it shall become purified and wise, and so relinquish the source of suffering, which is selfishness. The law and foundation of the universe being love, it follows that all self-seeking is opposed to that law, is an effort to overcome or ignore the law, and as a result, every self-seeking act and thought is followed by an exact quota of suffering, which is required to annul its effect, and so maintain the universal harmony. All suffering is therefore the restraint which the law of love puts upon ignorance and selfishness, and out of such painful restraint, wisdom at last emerges. There being no strife and no selfishness in the kingdom, there is therefore no suffering, no restraint, there is perfect harmony, equipoise, rest. Those who have entered in do follow any animal inclinations, they have none to follow, but live in accordance with the highest wisdom. Their nature is love, and they live in love towards all. They are never troubled about making a living, as they are life itself, living in the very heart of life. And should any material or other need arises, that need is immediately supplied without any anxiety or struggle on their part. Should they be called to undertake any work, the money and friends needed to carry out that work are immediately forthcoming. Having ceased to violate their principles, all their needs are supplied through legitimate channels. Any money or help required always comes through the instrumentality of good people who are either living in the kingdom themselves or are working for its accomplishment. Those who live in the kingdom of love have all their needs supplied by the law of love, with all freedom from unrest, just as those who live in the kingdom of self only meet their needs by much strife and suffering. Having altered the root cause in their heart, they have altered all the effects in their inner and outer life. As self is the root cause of all strife and suffering, so love is the root cause of all peace and bliss. Those who are at rest in the kingdom do not look for happiness to any outward possession. They see that all such possessions are mere transient effects that come when they are required, and after their purpose is served, pass away. They never think of these things, money, clothing, food, etc., except as mere accessories and effects of the true life. They are therefore freed from all anxiety and trouble, and resting in love, they are the embodiment of happiness. Standing upon the imperishable principles of purity, compassion, wisdom, and love, they are immortal, and know they are immortal. They are one with God, the supreme good, and know they are one with God. Seeing the reality of things, they can find no room anywhere for condemnation. All the operations that occur upon the earth they see as instruments of the good law, even those called evil. All men are essentially divine, though unaware of their divine nature, and all their acts are efforts, even though many of them are dark and impotent, to realize some higher good. All so-called evil is seen to be rooted in ignorance, even those deeds that are called deliberately wicked, so that condemnation ceases, and love and compassion become all in all. But let it not be supposed that the children of the kingdom live in ease and indolence. These two sins are the first that have to be eradicated when the search for the kingdom is entered upon. They live in a peaceful activity. In fact, they only truly live, for the life of self, with its train of worries, griefs, and fears, is not real life. They perform all their duties with the most scrupulous diligence, apart from thoughts of self, and employ all their means, as well as powers and faculties, which are greatly intensified in building up the kingdom of righteousness in the heart of others and in the world around them. This is their work, first by example, then by precept. Having sold all that they have, renounced all self-interest in their possessions, they now give to the poor, give of their rich store of wisdom, love and peace to the needy in spirit, the weary and the broken-hearted, and follow the Christ whose name is love. And they have sorrow no more, but live in perpetual gladness. For though they see suffering in the world, they also see the final bliss and the eternal refuge of love, to which whosoever is ready may come now, and to which all will come at last. The children of the kingdom are known by their life. They manifest the fruits of spirit, love, joy, peace, suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and self-control, under all circumstances and vicissitudes. They are entirely free from anger, fear, suspicion, jealousy, caprice, anxiety, and grief. Living in the righteousness of God, they manifest qualities which are the very reverse of those which occur in the world, and which are regarded by the world of foolishness. They demand no rights. They do not defend themselves, do not retaliate, do good to those who attempt to injure them, manifest the same gentle spirit toward those who oppose and attack them, as toward those who agree with them. Do not pass judgment on others, condemn no person and no system, and live at peace with all. The kingdom of heaven is perfectly trust, perfect knowledge, perfect peace. All is music, sweetness, and tranquility. No irritation, no bad tempers, no harsh words, no suspicions, no lust, and no disturbing elements can enter there. Its children live in perfect sweetness, forgiving and forgiven, ministering to others with kindly thoughts and words and deeds. And that kingdom is in the heart of every man and woman. It is their rightful heritage, their own kingdom, theirs to enter now. But no sin can enter therein, no self-born thought or deed can pass its golden gates, no impure desires can defile its radiant robes. All may enter it who will, but all must pay the price, and that is the unconditional abandonment of self. If thou wilt be perfect, sell all that thou hast. But at these words the world turns away sorrowful, for it is very rich, rich in money which it cannot keep, rich in fears which it cannot let go, rich in selfish love to which it greedily clings, rich in grievous partings which it would fain escape, rich in seeking enjoyment, rich in pain and sorrow, rich in strife and suffering, rich in excitement and woe, rich in all things which are not riches, but poor in riches themselves, which are not to be found outside the kingdom. Rich in all things that pertain to darkness and death, but poor in those things which are light and life. He then, who would realize the kingdom, let him pay the price and enter. If he have a great and holy faith, he can do it now. And letting him fall from him like a garment in the self to which he has been clinging, stand free. If he have less faith, he must rise above self more slowly, and find the kingdom by daily effort and patient work. The temple of righteousness is built, and its four walls are the four principles: purity, wisdom, compassion, love. Peace is its roof, its floor steadfastness. Its entrance door is selfless duty, its atmosphere is inspiration, and its music is the joy of the perfect. It cannot be shaken, and being eternal and indestructible, there is no more need to seek protection in taking thought for the things of tomorrow. And the kingdom of heaven being established in the heart, the obtaining of the material necessities of life is no more considered. For having found the highest, all these things are added as effects to cause. The struggle for existence has ceased, and the spiritual, mental, and material needs are daily supplied from the universal abundance. Long I sought thee, Spirit holy, Master Spirit meek and lowly, sought thee with a silent sorrow, brooding over the woes of men. Vainly sought thy yoke of meekness, neath the weight of woe and weakness, finding not, yet in my failings, seeking over and over again. In unrest and doubt and sadness dwelt I, yet I knew thy gladness, waited somewhere, greeted torn and sorrowing hearts like mine, knew that somehow I should find thee, leaving sin and woe behind me, and at last thy love would bid thee enter in rest divine. Hatred, mockery, and reviling scorched my seeking soul, defiling that which should have been thy temple, wherein thou shouldest move and dwell, praying, striving, hoping, calling, suffering, sorrowing in my falling. Still I sought thee, groping blindly in the gloomy depths of hell, and I sought thee till I found thee, and the dark powers all around me fled and left me silent, peaceful, brooding over thy holy themes. From within me and without me fled thy when I ceased to doubt thee, and I found thee in thy glory, mighty master of my dreams. Yes, I found thee, Spirit holy, beautiful and pure and lowly, found thy joy and peace and gladness, found thee in thy house of rest, found thy strength in love and meekness, and my pain and woe and weakness left me, and I walked the pathway, trodden only by the blessed. End of chapter. Aphorisms from Lesson 5. If no one has given you an opportunity, has it ever occurred to you to create an opportunity for yourself? Life is not a goblet to be drained, it is a measure to be filled. Hadley. Time is the mighty hand that rocks the eternal cradle of progress and nurses struggling humanity through the period when man needs protection against his own ignorance. Mastery of the 15 laws of success is the equivalent of an insurance policy against failure. Samuel Gompers. No man may become an accurate thinker until he learns how to separate mere gossip from information from facts. There is something wrong about the man whose wife and children do not greet him affectionately on his homecoming. No accurate thinker will judge another person by that which the other person's enemies say about him. Make excuses for the shortcoming of others if you wish, but hold yourself to a strict accountability if you would attain leadership in under undertaking. Service, sacrifice, and self-control are three words which must be well understood by the person who succeeds in doing something that is of help to this world. Cherish your visions and your dreams as they are the children of your soul, the blueprints of your ultimate achievements. What helped you over the great obstacles of life was asked of the highly successful man. The other obstacles, he replied. The space you occupy and the authority you exercise may be measured with mathematical exactness by the service you render. When you do not know what to do or which way to turn, smile, This will relax your mind and let the sunshine of happiness into your soul. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 5. Aphorisms from the Law of Success, Chapter 6. Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice, is never the result of selfishness. E.M. Statler became the most successful hotel man in the world by rendering more service and better service than his guests were asked to pay for. Hot heads go with cold feet. He who loses his temper is usually a bluffer, and when called is a quitter. The man who is afraid to give credit to those who help him do a piece of creditable work is so small that opportunity will pass him by without seeing him some day. Charlie Chaplin makes $1 million a year out of funny, shuffling walk and a pair of baggy trousers because he does something different. Take the hint and individualize yourself with some distinctive idea. We cannot sow thistles and reap clover. Nature simply does not run things that way. She goes by cause and effect. We all like commendation, and many of us like flattery, but it is a debatable question as to whether the indulgence of these tendencies builds character and strength and individuality. I never see a person trying to disclose the scarlet letter of another's breast that I do not wonder if he doesn't carry some mark of disgrace which would have ruined him had he been overtaken by justice. If you have been wise and successful, I congratulate you. Unless you are unable to forget how successful you have been, then I pity you. I know I am here. I know I had nothing to do with my coming, and I shall have but little, if anything, to do with my going. Therefore, I will not worry, because worries are of no avail. The reason most people do not like to hear the story of your troubles is that they have a big flock of their own. It will make a big difference to you whether you are a person with a message or a person with a grievance. The man who slanders his fellow man unwittingly uncovers the real nature of his inner self. I call that man idle who might be better employed. Socrates. End of Aphorisms. Lesson 6. Aphorisms from Lesson 7. Your employer does not control the sort of service you render. You control that, and it is the thing that makes or breaks you. There is a suitable reward for every virtue and appropriate punishment for every sin a man commits. Both the reward and the punishment are effects over which no man has control, as they come up upon him voluntarily. All anyone really requires as a capital on which to start a successful career is a sound mind, a healthy body, and a genuine desire to be as much service as possible to as many people as possible. If you think your lot in life has been hard, read Up from Slavery by Booker T. Washington, and you may see how fortunate you have been. Is there not food for thought in the fact that no newspaper has ever published any account of wild drinking parties or other similar scandals in connection with the name of Edison, Ford, Rockefeller, and most of the other really big fellas? Conceit is a fog which envelops a man's real character beyond his own recognition. It weakens his native ability and strengthens all his inconsistencies. Half the wrecks that strew life's oceans, if some star had been their guide, might in safety now be riding, but they drifted with the tide. First impressions really do count. Dress to look the part if you intend to play in life, but take care not to overdo it. A careful inventory of all your past experiences may disclose the startling fact that everything has happened for the best. One of the most valuable things any man can learn is the art of using the knowledge and experience of others. I gave a beggar a dime with a suggestion that he invest in a copy of Elbert Hubbard's Message to Garcia. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 7. Aphorisms from Lesson 8. I have yet to find the first man who amounted to very much, who had not the habit of doing more courage to assume responsibility for his own mistakes without being accused. If you are successful, remember that somewhere, sometime, someone gave you a lift or an idea that started you in the right direction. Remember also that you are indebted to life until you help some less fortunate person, just as you are helped. A good hearty laugh is worth 10,000 groans and a million sighs in any market on earth. It is well worth remembering that the customer is the most important factor in any business. If you don't think so, try to get along without him for a while. Our doubts and traitors and make us lose the good we off might win by fearing to attempt. Shakespeare. It is a peculiar trait of human nature, but it is true, that the most successful men will work harder for the sake of rendering useful service than they will for money alone. People like to use their excess energy by chewing the rag. William Wrigley Jr. capitalized this human trait by giving them a stick of spearmint gum. While others may sidetrack your ambitions not a few times, remember the discouragement most frequently comes from within. Ask any wise man what he most desires, and he will more than likely say, more wisdom. To do much clear thinking, a man must arrange for a regular period of solitude when he can concentrate and indulge his imagination without distraction. Fear no man, hate no man, wish no one misfortune, and more than likely you will have plenty of friends. No man can rise to fame and fortune without carrying others along with him. It simply cannot be done. The man who actually knows just what he wants in life has already gone a long way toward attaining it. No man achieves great success who is unwilling to make personal sacrifices. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 8. Aphorisms from Lesson 9. There is always room for a man who can be relied upon to deliver the goods when he said he would. I like to see a man proud of his country, and I like to see him so live that his country is proud of him. Lincoln. There are no lazy men. What may appear to be a lazy man is only an unfortunate person who has not found the work for which he is best suited. All salesmen will profit by remembering that none of us want anything that someone else wishes to get rid of. No man can rise to fame and fortune without carrying others along with him. It simply cannot be done. The person who sows a single beautiful thought in the mind of another renders the world a greater service than that rendered by all the fault finders combined. The educated man is the man who has learned how to get everything he needs without violating the rights of his fellow men. Education comes from within. You get it by struggle and effort and thought. To love praise but not worship it, and fear condemnation but not go down under it, is evidence of a well-balanced personality. Ultimately, nothing matters very much. The defeat that seems to break your heart today will be a ripple among the waves of other experiences in the ocean of your life further ahead. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Among the other things you intend to cut out in your New Year's resolution, include the word impossible. There is no more dangerous person, dangerous to himself and to others, than the person who passes judgment without pretending to know the facts. There are 10 weaknesses against which most of us must guard themselves. One of these is the habit of trying to reap before we have sown, and the other 9 are all wrapped up in the one practice of creating alibis to cover up every mistake made. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 9. Aphorisms from Lesson 10. No man has the right to strain the relationship of friendly acquaintance to the breaking point by asking or expecting of a friend that which might prove to be a burden to the friend. Enthusiasm is the mainspring of the soul. Keep it wound up, and you will never be without power to get what you actually need. I have great wealth that can never be taken away from me, that I can never squander, that cannot be lost by declining stocks or bad investments. I have the wealth of contentment with my lot in life. The word educate has its roots in the Latin word educo, which means to educe, to draw out, to develop from within. The best educated man is the one whose mind has been the most highly developed. Congratulate yourself when you reach that degree of wisdom which prompts you to see less of the weakness of others and more of your own, for you will then be walking in the company of the really great. Aspiration is greater than realization, because it keeps us eternally climbing upward towards some unattained goal. It is better to be a big man in a small town than to be a small man in a big town, and ever so much easier. I would rather begin at the bottom and climb to the top than to start at the top and have to remain there. If you have tried and met with defeat, if you have planned and watched your plans as they were crushed before your eyes, just remember that the greatest men in all history were the products of courage. And courage, you know, is born in the cradle of adversity. Employers are always on the lookout for a man who does a better job of any sort than is customary, whether it be wrapping a package, writing a letter, or closing a sale. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 10. Aphorisms from Lesson 11. Some men die too soon from overeating. Others die from strong drink, while still others just wither up and die because they have nothing else to do. First acquire patience and perseverance, then make up your mind what else you want, and you will be almost sure to get it. The most successful physicians are those who mix hope and faith with the medicines they prescribe. W. Wrigley, Jr. has amassed a tremendous fortune by concentrating all of his efforts on the manufacture and distribution of the best package of chewing gum, proving once more that the seed of success lies wrapped in the little things of life. When a man really finds himself at the top of the ladder of success, he is never alone, because no man can climb to genuine success without taking others along with him. We climb to heaven mostly on ruins of our cherished plans, finding our failures were but friendly guideposts that led us onward and upwards to success. Remember that your real wealth can be measured not by what you have, but what you are. Any man may become great by doing the commonplace things of life in a great spirit, with a genuine desire to be of helpful service to others, regardless of his calling. Salesmanship consists very largely in knowing and in showing the prospective buyer the real merits of the goods or service you are trying to sell. You are well on the road toward success if you have such a keen conception of life that you never build a plan which contemplates your requesting another person to do that which does not bring that person some corresponding advantage in return for compliance with your request. The great Edison failed 10,000 times before he made the incandescent electric light work, Do not become discouraged and quit if you fail once or twice before making your plans work. It is pardonable to tell your friends, by tactful suggestion, of your needs, but take care not to ask them outright for assistance if you would retain their friendship. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 11. Aphorisms, Lesson 12. You need have no fear of competition from a person who says, "I am not paid to do this, and I'll not do it." He will never be a dangerous competitor for your job. But watch out for the fellow who remains at his work until it is finished and performs a little more than is expected of him, for he may challenge you at the post and pass you at the grandstand. Some men are successful as long as someone else stands back of them and encourages them, and some men are successful in spite of hell. Take your choice. Nothing is so contagious as enthusiasm. It is the real allegory of the tale of Orpheus. It moves stones, it charms brutes. Enthusiasm is the genius of sincerity, and truth accomplishes no victories without it. Bulwer. Here are 12 good reasons for failure. The first one is the avowed intention of doing no more than what is paid to do, and the person who makes this avowal may see the other 11 by stepping before a looking glass. Fish don't bite just for the wishing. Keep a pullin'. Change your bait and keep on fishin'. Keep a pullin'. Luck ain't nailed to any spot. Men you envy, like as not, envy you your job and lot. Keep a pullin'. Do you see that lucky fellow over there who pulls a position through pull? Let me whisper a secret in your ear. Fate is standing in wait for him just around the corner with a stuffed club, and it is not stuffed with cotton. Is it not strange that the word boomerang has been in the dictionary all these years without its having been generally known that a boomerang is an instrument which comes back and may wound the hand that throws it? Defeat, like a headache, warns us that something has gone wrong. If we are intelligent, we look for the cause and profit by the experience. You have tremendous advantage over the person who slanders you or does you a willful injustice. You have it within your power to forgive that person. The person who receives no pay for his services except that which comes in the pay envelope is underpaid, no matter how much money that envelope may contain. It is a striking coincidence that American ends with "I can." There is a sure way to avoid criticism. Be nothing and do nothing. Get a job as a street sweeper and kill off ambition. The remedy never fails. If you hesitate or turn backward while under fire, you are not a fighter, you are a quitter. And the devil himself hates the person with a rubber backbone. He smells bad burning. Until you have learned to be tolerant with those who do not always agree with you, until you have cultivated the habit of saying some kind word of those whom you do not admire, until you have formed the habit of looking for the good instead of the bad there is in others, you will be neither successful or happy. End of Aphorisms. Aphorisms from Lesson 13. Your position is nothing more than your opportunity to show what sort of ability you have. You will get out of it exactly what you put into it, no more and no less. A big position is but the sum total of numerous little positions well filled. I do not know for sure, but I strongly suspect that the person who performs service that is greater in quantity and better in quality than that for which he is paid is eventually paid for more than he performs. Thousands of people walk over the great Calumet copper mine without discovering it. Just one lone man got busy with a pick and found it. You may be standing on your Calumet mine right now without knowing it, in whatever position you are filling. Dig down and see what is under the surface of your position. An occasional misfortune is a good thing. It reminds us that no one has absolute independence. Every failure will teach you a lesson that you need to learn. if you will keep your eyes and ears open and will be willing to be taught. Every adversity is usually a blessing in disguise. Without reverses and temporary defeat, you would never know the sort of metal of which you are made. Here is a good joke to play on your employer. Get to your work a little earlier and leave a little later than you are supposed to. Handle his tools as if they belong to you. Go out of your way to say a kind word about him to your fellow worker. When there is extra work that needs to be done, volunteer to do it. Do not show surprise when he gets on to you and offers you the head of the department or a partnership in the business, for this is the best part of the joke. Quibbling over salary, to start with, has lost many a man the opportunity of a lifetime. If the position you seek is the one that you know you can throw your whole heart into, take it, even if you have to work for nothing until you deliver a good sample of your goods. Thereafter, you will receive pay in proportion to the quality and quantity of the work you perform. A good stock of self-confidence and a new suit of clothes will help you land a position without pull. But remember, nothing will go so far towards helping you hold it as will push, enthusiasm, and determination to do more than that which you are paid. You cannot scare a man who is at peace with God, his fellow men, and himself. There is no room for fear in such a man's heart. When fear finds a welcome, there is something that needs awakening. You have failed how many times? How fortunate! You ought to know by now some of the things not to do in the future. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 13. Aphorisms, Lesson 14. Strive not to banish pain and doubt. In pleasure's noisy din, the peace thou seekest from without is only found within. Carey. 'Tis the human touch in this world that counts, the touch of your hand and mine, which means far more to the fainting heart than shelter and bread and wine. For shelter is gone when the night is done, and bread lasts only a day. But the touch of the hand and the sound of the voice sing on in the soul away. Spencer Tree. If we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. Longfellow. To give pleasure to a single heart by a single kind act is better than 1,000 head bowings in prayer. Sadi. No one is living aright unless he so lives that whoever meets him goes away more confident and joyous for the contact. Lillian Whiting. It is far better to be associated with a few who are right than with a mob which is wrong, because right is always the winner in the end. Remember this when things go against you, that of all the expressions you carry in your face, the light of joy shines farthest out to sea. One of the greatest leaders who ever lived stated the secret of his leadership in 6 words as follows: kindness is more powerful than compulsion. Yesterday is but a dream, tomorrow is only a vision, but today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. From Sanskrit. End of Aphorisms, Lesson 14. Aphorisms from Lesson 15. If a man has built a sound character, it makes but little difference what people say about him, because he will win in the end. Napoleon Hill, Sr. Singleness of purpose is one of the chief essentials for success in life, no matter what may be one's aim. John D. Rockefeller, Jr. Greatly begin, though thou have time, but for a line be that sublime. Not failure, but low aim is a crime. Unfortunate indeed is the man who becomes so used to evil that it no longer appears to be horrible. It takes but a second to administer a rebuke, but it may take a lifetime for the one who has been rebuked to forget about it. Hearts, like doors, can be opened with ease to very, very little keys. And don't forget that they are these, I thank you, sir, and if you please. There are souls in this world which have the gift of finding joy everywhere and of leaving it behind them everywhere they go. Faber. End of aphorisms. End of book.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.